What's up, everybody? This is Joffer, Papa Pump Penazai, a.k.a. the bad guy, with my main man, my best friend, John DeMatt Maz over here. How you doing, John?
I'm jet lagged.
Jet lagged, yes. He's been traveling, and we've got somebody really special on the podcast. I feel like I say that all the time, but this person is by far one of my heroes, somebody that throughout my Muay Thai career I really looked up to. We have a Miss Julie Kitchen today. How are you? How are you?
Oh, great, thanks. Really good.
We're really excited to have you on, and we know your life's got to be so busy, so we're not going to take up too much of your time, so we're just going to go straight into it. So we got to know, how did you get your start in martial arts and kickboxing?
I think most people probably know that by now, but I didn't start until actually I had my daughters at the age of 21. So I had twins, and then it was about maybe 1 year after I had them, I was still carrying some baby weight. So I went along to my husband's gym to get rid of some weight, and I just fell in love with the sport.
Wait, so your husband also... I didn't know, first off, I didn't know you're married, which really breaks my heart because I was hoping to propose today.
And, well, this is the first interview I've done, actually. We was married for 20 years, but now we've separated.
Oh, so you're single?
I am.
Best day of my life.
Yeah, he started, I met him when I left school, so I was with him since I was like 16, so he started when we was together, and he'd been to Thailand lots of times training, and he competed, but he just preferred teaching and coaching. He had a good eye for it, so yeah.
Now, you said you went in to lose some weight after you had your children. What made it basically become more than that for you? What led it to you becoming this icon that you are today?
Well, I attended a Thai boxing show, and one of our juniors fighters was fighting on it, and I'd seen all the training he had done, and I was just taken back by the whole show when I got there, like the music, and I don't know, just something got hold of me, and I was like, wow, I want to be in that ring doing it. And that was a huge turnaround, because I've always been a really shy, quiet girl, and I think that's why people find my story quite fascinating. I was like the shyest, quietest girl ever when I was younger, and I've turned out to be like a 14 times world champion. So people who I went to school with, they just can't believe it. So yeah.
Now, 14 time world champion. You gotta know, out of all of those times you've won a world championship, what is the one that sticks out the most to you? What's the one that you're like the most proud of?
Well, there's a few, actually, but my favourite belt is the WBC belt, the green and gold one, and I was the first female one in England to hold a WBC belt, so I love that. But there's so many. I fought in Jamaica a few times.
Oh, wait, are you Jamaican?
Cause no, I'm not. I'm English.
You're making me crazy.
Oh, my God.
Oh man,
do you see what I have to deal with?
You can tell you've just woke up. But yeah, I've got so many, but I do like the WBC one.
Now, you got into Thai boxing, you started competing. I mean, I know for you originally it was for weight loss, but as you were getting more and more delving into the sport, who are your heroes and influences? Like, what made you, who was the person that you looked up to? Like, example, for me, I looked up to you. Who did you look up to aspire as?
Well, to start with, it was a local lady. She lives in Paignton called Karen Uzi. And at the time, I think she was 3 times world champion. And she was around my weight. So I used to go and travel so I could train with her. She's like 2 hours away. So to start with, I really looked up to her. I'd watched her fight quite a few times. And really, I get inspired by so many people. They haven't got to just be in the Thai boxing world. Anyone who dedicates himself fully to a sport or profession, that inspires me. And when I see the little children, and especially my daughters, when they've been in the ring, that inspires me so much.
Now, you've kind of made it to the apex of the sport. You've been at the top. You've won 14 times, 14 yeah. different championships. Have you maybe felt like you want to dabble in some other martial arts or kind of conquer something else since you've pretty much conquered this avenue?
Yeah, I mean, I was fighting for just over 10 years. And to be honest, My whole focus was on the Thai boxing. If I do something, I'm going to do it 110%. And I would worry, I would be worried to try something else in case I got injured and it would affect my training. So if I do something, I'm just fully focused on it. Lots of people have always said, oh, I'd like to see you in the UFC and what about ground fighting? But I just feel like my age kind of is against me with that, and it's not something I would probably now go and start to
and
do.
How old are you, 25?
It's actually my birthday next week.
Oh, happy one
and
week
I'm gonna
before
be
your 37.
Birthday.
37. Wow.
Yeah, you don't have to keep repeating it, but yeah.
Wow.
I'm just some surprise.
Look, age is just a number, and I love you.
Okay.
Don't listen to him.
So now you said your daughters also compete in Thai boxing just a second ago. Are they? Do they have aspirations of being like their mother as well and going far in it, or just something they're doing for fun?
Yeah, I mean, they've just turned 15. In England, when the children fight, it's body contact, not to the head. So they haven't had their first head contact fight yet, which I think they will do this year. But they've both reached amazing heights already. One's a world champion and one's European champion.
Wow.
They've got, they're talented.
That's awesome. So, I mean, you as a mom who, you know, is seeing them do this, do you feel like you're nervous if they keep competing in it, or you want to see them go all the way with it?
It's funny, when they fought in the past, I found it really hard. Like when I was walking to the ring with them, I had like tears in my eyes. It was tough knowing that they was going to go in and do it. So before, their dad would take them away to competitions because he's used to seeing me in the ring. So he could deal with it a little bit better. I can't really tell them not to do it because I'm their role model. but I do think maybe there's other avenues for in way of work and stuff. Maybe that will be better for them.
Now, when your kids,
but if they're gonna fight, I'll give them 100% support.
When your kids are competing, are you their main coach? Because I know when I was younger, my dad was my coach in some sports, and me and him used to kind of like, as I got a little older, used to go at it because it's a little
tough.
Different when your parents are telling you what to do, like on the field or, you know, in the ring. I know your girls are kind of in that like weird teenage female area. Are they kind of like bumping heads with you a little bit on some of the training aspects?
Well, it's their dad who teaches them. And also that brings me to that I'm working in Holland quite a lot at the moment. So I am away. I'm in the UK for a month at the moment, but they do tend to train with their dad and he taught me. So they're in good hands.
Now, you said you're working in Holland. You know, I myself, I don't know about it. I'm sure some people don't know. What are you doing currently in Holland?
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people know really what I've done since I've officially retired. But I'm doing a lot of work with a brand called Infusion. I'm not sure if everyone's heard about it yet, but if you haven't, I'm not sure where you've been. And they've got quite a few different labels. It's I'll talk about the newest one that's just come about. It's a channel called 24/7 and it's www.infusionlive.com, and it's 24 hours of footage of fights, past live shows, talk shows, the Infusion reality. Like last year we was in Thailand with the heavyweights. This year they're going to do a female one later on in the year. So it's really exciting, and every month we go to a different country and hold a live show, which is either broadcasted on TV or sometimes on the stream as well, and I do commentating on that. And on the reality shows, I'm their co-host, so I'm quite heavily involved with them.
Oh, that's very cool. I didn't know that was...
Yeah, you want to check out the channel, definitely, and you can hear me commentating and see me on the reality shows, and it's great. It's great.
Well, I'm going to start watching it right away just because you
Good.
Told me to. Now, what is an average day right now? Now that you're not fighting, like you said, you retired. What's an average day like for you? If you could just walk us through it, just so I know from my own, so I can put it in my diary.
It's pretty crazy at the moment. I like a busy lifestyle. and I always kind of get up early and start my day off, because during my fighting years, which was like just over 10 years, I was always up early out running. So I'm kind of in that mode of getting up and getting on. I don't know. I just get up and do lots of work throughout the day. When I have time, I do a run. I've not been so much training lately, but I'm just getting back into that and stepping it up, and I'm really buzzing from it. So, yeah, I'm just keeping busy.
So now that you're kind of doing this, like, internet and the reality shows and everything, are you becoming, like, a local celebrity in Holland, or beyond of what you already are? Because I know it's different in, you know, like, combat sports is people know you kind of just in your sport, and some people don't recognize you, but once you get on, like, the internet and the TV, you kind of just, like, everybody knows who you are, even, like, old ladies and grandpas.
Oh, I'm not sure about that. But I don't know. For me, it's a big eye-opener. Obviously, I attend a lot of events in Holland. It's good to see their method of training and the way that they fight. They're all, like, very aggressive with the way that they fight, whereas in England, people are, like, more Thai style. But the infusion rules are slightly different. It's quite fast and limited clinch. So it is exciting rules. And, yeah, people are getting to know who I am. I hold my hands up. When I was fighting, I didn't really follow other fighters too much because I was a mum as well. So as soon as I finished training, I'd come home and kind of forget about the kickboxing. But, I'm starting to get recognised a little bit more in Holland. And it's just nice meeting the local fighters and seeing the talents.
Now that you're done fighting, who are fighters that you like to watch, whether male or female? Who are fighters just in general, Glory, Muay Thai, any of those avenues that you're a big fan of?
Like I said earlier, I love seeing a good fight. I do like lots of commentating now, so I do see a lot of fights. And for me, any fighter who's got like a strong heart, sometimes they can be behind on the cards and then, you know, they're really against it and they push through and come through. I like exciting fights. It's good. But, you know, I can't say that one particular fighter stands out for me. There's a young boy coming through on the infusion ranks, Mohamed Jiraya. He's only 17 and his talent is just crazy. And he's got a teammate, Ilyas Bilyade. I might have said that wrong. And these guys are so young and they've just got crazy talent. So I just love watching them grow.
Now, you have one next?
Nope.
Okay, now out of all the countries you fought in, okay, because I know you've been all over the world, what so far has been the one country that you've just enjoyed being at the most?
Well, obviously Thailand. It's the home of the sport. I fought on the King's birthday, which was just crazy amounts of people on the grounds. Thailand would be my number one. And then Jamaica was really special for me because we was raising money for the schools out there so the children could have computers. And I was really lucky. I was one of the fighters who could go and visit the children in the schools and see what we was raising money for. So that was for a really good cause, and to do that through Thai boxing was great. And then I fought in New York, and that city just captures my heart. I love New York. So I don't know. There's so many places.
Who did you fight in New York, by the way?
Natalie Fuzz.
It's so funny because, like, 6-7 years ago, I trained at her gym. And I saw your fight, and I just remember going, oh, my God, she's brutalizing the head instructor of this gym.
Was you at the fight? Was you?
No, I wasn't at the fight. I just saw the video.
At the gym. Okay, cool. Yeah, they was a great team. Yeah, very friendly.
So now, tell us some of your future goals. Let's say your one-year goal, your five-year goal.
I don't know. It's really tough. My whole life in the past year has been a bit of a roller coaster ride. I've retired from fighting. I've kind of changed jobs. I'm based in Holland a lot more now. So I'm kind of going with the flow as such. But obviously my main priority is seeing to my girls at the moment. They're hitting the age where they're going to leave school. They've got big decisions to make what they're going to do with their future. So they're my main priority. Secondly, I'm just head down working as hard as I can for Infusion. I'm loving it. I get to visit lots of different countries. My passion is this sport. So when I get to interview fighters, I'm in my element. I know the feelings you get before and after the fights, and that's perfect for me. So just stay working with them and putting my love back into the sport, doing seminars and passing my knowledge on.
Do you think you might see yourself transitioning into, I know you get the the infusion thing going on, but maybe like having your own training center and like just corralling a whole bunch of fighters and being the coach and manager?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I love teaching. Like I said, passing the knowledge I have on. We can all keep learning. I keep learning. I've always enjoyed doing like film work, so that's really why I enjoy Infusion as well. But if I could get a small part in a movie or like a little a stunt scene, I would love to do that. Then I'd be in my element.
You'd be like the next Gina Carano or Ronda Rousey, kind of following those lines.
Yeah.
Well, I'll call Rhonda. We're good friends. And
yeah, I've met her before and stuff. We was fighting on the same week, actually. I was in America, in LA, fighting. And we was going to do some sparring together, but it was the week we was both fighting. And the coaches was worried it would be too competitive. So we wasn't allowed to spar each other, but I went along and watched her train. And, yeah.
What was it like to get to hang out with some of those, like, professional top end mixed martial arts women?
Like, how were they looking at you? Were they like, oh, you know, she doesn't know anything, or were they being cordial?
No,
or
I was just in the gym and I was watching her do stand up, and I just so wanted my shorts and gloves on and to be in the ring, but yeah, it couldn't happen, unfortunately.
She was scared of you, wasn't she?
No. We were both fighting that weekend, so I can see the coach's points of view, but no, she's a great fighter.
I'm going to put it on Twitter that she's scared of you.
Do not. Give words in my mouth.
No Twitter battles.
No Twitter battles. Okay. Now, in your fight career, what would you say was like the defining moment as far as what like kind of catapulted you into the mainstream of the fight world?
I think really the a big change around was quite early on in my career. When I started, I had like quite a few losses, say like for instance 5 losses and 2 wins, and I kept going, and I went to a big London show to watch 2 of the girls who I'd originally fought and lost on points with, and it was going to be for Sky TV, which was pretty big in England. So I went along, and cut a long story short, one of the girls pulled out because she wasn't on weight. And I'd gone out the night before with my husband drinking. I didn't have any kit. I said, oh, I'll go in, I'll fight. I had nothing to lose. And I went in and I beat her quite easily. And it was like on Sky TV and things. So that was a big turnaround for me. Yeah, that particular, it was in the Wembley arena there. So
Did you feel like that at that point that your natural talent was kind of taking over and maybe you didn't have to put in as much work as everybody else? Because I mean,
no, never ever use that word natural. I was never a natural.
Well, compared to some other women, your body frame is like perfect for your sport. I mean, yeah. Like, that's a huge advantage.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, you've been using that advantage against, you know, most other people in, you know, in your weight class and in the industry.
Yeah, but I think on that day, it would have been easy for me to say, no, I'm not going to fight. And I always like, I wouldn't say to take risks, but to push myself and like test myself. And I think I'd done that. I wasn't in full training. I was just ticking over. And like I say, if I'm going to do something, I'll do it 110%. So I think I've got like that drive in me that I always want to do well or do better. And I think that's definitely a huge path behind my career.
So you're going 110% on drinking if you drink, and then you're going 110% on training if you train.
That's my friends.
I do the same thing.
No, I like to try.
Now, were there a lot of like stereotypes when you're starting, like, oh, she's a girl, she doesn't know anything, she can never be good at this, that you had to basically go against? You basically had to, you know, deal with such negativity, being that you were a female in this sport.
Yeah, because combat sports for women has changed a lot in the last few years with big names like Ronda and, you know, all these other chicks. Like, it's okay for women to fight now.
Whereas when you started, probably, were there any things that you faced that were negative when you were getting started in this sport?
Everything. And especially where I live in England, I'm right down the bottom, southwest, so we're away from all the big cities. And you know, I got to give credit to Nathan, who was my coach and husband at the time. He kept going on and to get me on the bigger shows, because they would say, oh, I wouldn't sell tickets because I'm from right down south of England. And I definitely think I helped to carve a pathway for females to get on bigger shows. Like I was one, you know, I started to get on the posters as the main headline bow. And then the promoter started to want me, even though I didn't live in that area, they knew that I could sell tickets. So I think it was a real constant hard battle, but in the end, it was worth it. And I do think that I helped widen that pathway a little bit for the females.
Now, being that this sport is mainly like, if you look at Muay Thai, it's a very male-dominated sport, and you getting into it, you mentioned that you had fought in Thailand. Was it was it a weird experience for you knowing that not only are you not a Thai, you know, you're a foreigner and you're a female fighting there? Was there any kind of stereotypes that you dealt with over there, or they were very cordial to you?
It was okay. I fought in Thailand a few times, actually, and there was two camps I fought for, Sasipapa Gym in Bangkok and Fairtex in Pattaya. And both of the training camps, I'd been there lots of times for a few years, so they knew who I was. It wasn't like I just turned up and fought, and they helped me arrange the fights, and obviously they supported me and cornered me while I was out there, and they're very top well-known gym, so people kind of respected me for it. I didn't have any negativity.
Now, I know you mentioned things with your husband. Now you guys are divorced. How is that right now, dealing with, you know, you got two children trying to get into the sport as well?
Yeah.
Would you say it makes for an awkward situation, or right now you both have a really good mutual respect and still a genuine love for one another?
Yeah, we definitely got the mutual respect, and we've got children together, and we want the best for them, so it's all good.
Now, since your girls are getting into the sport as well, are people being nice to them, or are they kind of getting some, like, blowback because of, like, who their parents are? Because I know sometimes your parents being successful could be a little bit of a negative, or it could be a little bit of a, like, make it, like, an awkward situation.
Yeah, well, they've been on the circuit for a long time. It sounds crazy. They started when they was like 3 or 4, just like, you know, play fighting. And they'd done some like little interclubs then. And as children do, they go in and out of sports. But yeah, they've got respect. Obviously, with their names, I think people automatically think, oh, they're the kitchen twins. They're really good. But they are. They grew up in the gym. They grew up around Thai boxing. They grew up with the adults in the gym, so they've always known how to interact with the older people correctly. I think they haven't had the typical upbringing of being in bed at 6 o'clock and stuff, but at the same time, I think it's been really good for them.
Now, we mentioned that you're single right now. What is the kind of guy that Julie Kitchen looks at? What's the kind of guy that has a chance with you? Because I'm 5'5". I'm not very tall, but look, my arms are very muscular.
Okay, your girlfriend's gonna be pissed.
Yes, I know.
Oh yeah, that's not good. Really, I don't know. I am just focusing on my work at the moment. I've been married for like over 20 years, so I'm just really enjoying focusing on my work and yeah, just finding my way.
So when you go back to Holland, we're not going to stalk you, but typically, what part of the country are you in? Are you in the Amsterdam area? Are you in the...
In Alkmaar. It's about 30 minutes away from Amsterdam. It's a really beautiful village with like the canals running through it. And it's quite a kind of quiet town. But I'm used to that living in the southwest of England. So,
Have you gotten to explore that much of the Netherlands? Because I go for work all the time, and that's one of my favorite countries.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
And the UK, I've been to UK a bunch too.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I mean, I travel around seeing the shows mostly, and apart from that, I'm working, but it is a beautiful country. Not many hills to run up, but
very flat.
I really enjoy being on a bike out there as well. It's nice.
What's your favorite country that you visited for leisure, not for for training or fighting? Because sometimes when you do something for training, it gets a little crazy.
I think, really, most of the countries I've visited, it's always had training incorporated in there. Even when we done family holidays, when the girls were younger, I would always find a gym because I always was preparing for a fight. So training has always been part of a holiday as well.
How about now, if you could go somewhere, where would you like to go since you're not really in fight mode, fight camp all the time?
Oh, I don't know, actually. I don't know.
New
Somewhere
Jersey.
Warm.
You would like to come to New Jersey and
oh,
let us
definitely New Jersey.
let us gallivant you all throughout the area.
The Garden State, yeah. As we call it.
Yes.
That would be fun. I like the heat, so somewhere warm.
Yes.
It'll be about 100 degrees here in like 3 weeks.
Yeah. Not really. Now, before we wrap up, any shout-outs, any sponsors, anything like that that you'd like to just, go off on?
Well, just really all my fans that have supported me throughout the years, and even now I've got great support. I'm not an active fighter, but they can see that I'm still doing great work. And just for everyone to please tune in to www.infusionlive.com, because it's a great channel. They offer great viewing as well, and you can catch the live shows and you can see me.
All right, and now we have one more segment that we do every single podcast. It's called the random question. Now, I just want to give you a warning. It's random. You don't think about it. It can be offensive.
Yeah, I'm scared too. After speaking to him for only half an hour,
I'm scared. Me too. Okay. I know this guy for 10 years.
So we don't think about it. I don't even have it in my head. So I'm going to let John start, and then usually off of his, I make an even more outlandish question.
Oh, okay.
Who is the biggest guy you've ever knocked out?
Oh, no one. I haven't knocked a big guy out.
Oh, I don't believe that.
Okay. So there's me, there's John Wayne Parr, and there's Tyrone Spong. Okay? And you gotta kill one, marry one, and sleep with one. Go.
Oh, no way. That's just not fair. No. I'll kill you for sure.
Ah!
Yes!
And I don't know about the other two. But I fought Angie Parr in Jamaica, actually, John Wayne Parr's wife. She's lovely. The great family.
I just don't know how I should feel now. You just told me you'd kill me.
Kill you with kindness.
Kindness, yes. Well, we loved having you on the show today. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. That's cool.